Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We're grateful for the work of your word, which is by your Spirit. We ask that this morning, with unveiled minds, as we look into the scriptures, you will open our hearts to see what you do, even what you have done, and what you do amongst us today. We ask that just as there's no error in the teaching, there will be no error in our understanding. But every man as a church together, with unveiled face, will have our hearts filled with light, the knowledge of your salvation, to the end that your name is much more glorified in our work, and we are edified as a church, built up together, every man coming to a more precise understanding of the gift of God in us, even salvation. We ask that you help us to see and to be assured of our faith, to the end that we are also able to build up other people, both in our conduct and also in our ministries. This we ask and receive in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's look at Philemon verse 6. Thank you. Philemon 6. So I'll try my best to ensure that I just take this study and a little above and how. Are we together? Right. I want to maintain that tone a little bit above and how. And then later on in the year, we're going to be having a Bible seminar. And I'm actually looking at it. Last year, we had a week, right? Morning and night every week. Okay, I'm looking at a month, actually. Sometimes this year, looking at the whole month. And I might be taking us about 6 hours daily. So I'm looking at how will that happen. Some of us have to go to work. A number of us are students of university. And so how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do it. Free to fulfill. Praise God. Salvation. I'll read from verse 4. Are we all with our Bibles? And our what? Our Bibles and our what? Please, if there's someone here who is not with the Bible, ushers, please find them, give you a Bible. And if you are not with the writing materials, please provide writing materials. This is church. He declared. Alright, you should know where you're coming. So he says in verse 4, I thank my God. Let's do that quickly. Thank you. Okay, let the person quickly open to Philemon. Philemon is just immediately after Titus, which is after 2 Timothy, which is after 1 Timothy. Are we? Alright. Before Hebrews, you find Timothy. You find Philemon, right? So verse 6, everyone. Verse 4. Can we take it together once again? I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus, and toward all saints. Verse 6, everyone, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. Okay. Can we take 6 together again, one to go? That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. Praise God. So look at this. He says that the acknowledging of, that the communication rather, of your faith. And I've explained the word communication over the years. You know, he's not talking about by the saying of your faith. Communication means, you know, the association, how you are able to transmit what is yours to another. So he speaks of your influence or your impact. Are we together? Now, was your Christian walk should have impact on another. Amen. He speaks of sharing. That's the word communication, to share, to communicate something. It's an old word. Are we together? Old English for sharing. So you communicate a resource or you communicate a reality. So you communicate a reality, and in this text, the reality refers to the faith. And it calls your faith all that you have received in Christ Jesus. We could use that word synonymous to salvation. I'm not teaching here, I'm just speaking. We could use that word synonymous to salvation. Are we together? So he says the communication of your faith, the sharing of your faith, or the participation of your faith. Are we together? He says will become effectual. Effectual. It is by the acknowledging, someone say acknowledging, of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Are we together? So we have both an information in this text and also an instruction. It's both informative and instructive. Hallelujah. It is the communication of your faith will become effectual. The word effectual also actually implies effective. Amen. The communication of your faith becomes effective. That is, you become
an effective Christian.
Are we together?
He says, it is by, you must know what it is by. He says, it is by the acknowledging.
Are we together?
He's telling you this is how you will get something done. So it is by the acknowledging. And acknowledging has a lot to do with knowledge.
Are we together?
Coming to knowledge. Actually, the word I've seen over the years means to have a precise understanding of something. A precise understanding of something. Acknowledgement. You know, I have a precise understanding. That is, I've come to acknowledge something. I've come to have a precise, a profound knowledge of something. So, a precise knowledge of what? He says, of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ. So again, you know, we said over the years that it also means that I have things in common with Jesus. Praise God. If he says, of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, that means there are things that the believer and Jesus shares together. There are things that we have in common. The believer has a lot of things in common with Jesus. So Paul is saying to his associate pastor, Philemon, he says to Philemon, he says, you must come to a precise understanding of the things that you share in common with Jesus. The more your understanding, the more precise your understanding, the more effective you are as a Christian. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? So that means God is not silent on what a believer should feed on. God is not indifferent. God is not indifferent about what a Christian should feed on. Is it clear? Is not indifferent. God is not nonchalant about the believer's meal. The meal for the Christian. God is not indifferent about the meal for the Christian. If you look at Ephesians and chapter 4, quickly everyone. Ephesians and chapter 4. 4. If you see verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors, evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Can we take 13 together once ago? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with the wind of doctrine, slayed of men, cunning craftiness, whereby the laying way to deceive. Hallelujah. So he says that we henceforth be no more children. The word children, there we've seen that word 1,000 times in church, is the word nepios, which means undeveloped. He's not saying that we no more be children of God. So what are you? Are we together? But the children there, the emphasis is undeveloped. That we no more be undeveloped. That how do you know someone who is not developed? He says he is tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That means an undeveloping Christian believes everything. An undeveloping Christian is vulnerable to anything. He believes anything anybody says in the name of opening the Bible. Are we together? But God is particular about what a Christian feeds on. Even when it is being said from the Bible, it doesn't make it true. Are we together? Are we together? Not everyone who speaks from a text of the Bible is saying the truth. You will find even unbelievers and false religions say one or two things from the scriptures, and that doesn't make it true. So the fact that I come to you and I open the Bible does not make what I'm saying true. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? It is true when God's mind is actually being revealed in the scriptures. That is what makes it true. So he says in Philemon 6, that your faith becomes effectual. I just keep talking till I get into my story. Your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledgement. Hallelujah. It is of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Acknowledgement. Now, obviously, if you look at how Paul puts that word, acknowledging,
He presents it in a present continuous tense. That means the things you are supposed to know about the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is not a one-time knowledge. You expected to grow in knowledge. Are we together? Are we together? So the knowledge that we are told to have in the faith, or of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a progressive knowledge. Revelation knowledge, or what we call revelatory knowledge, is progressive. And so I'll tell your neighbor, say, revelation knowledge is progressive. Actually say it to somebody. Say, revelation knowledge is progressive. Hallelujah. That means a healthy Christian must continually make discoveries of his faith. That discovery leads to what we call spiritual development. Spiritual development is by a consistent discovery in the faith. Are we together? Are we together? So the acknowledging has to do with something that is progressive. Progressive. So a Christian, look at this, must consistently make progress in the faith. I showed you a text last Sunday, even though it was under a different heading. If you look at 1 Corinthians, everyone, quickly. I'm coming up with text I didn't plan to use. It's okay. See, everyone. 1 Corinthians 3. Let me use my. Verse 1. Verse 1. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Please wait for me. I'm almost there. Yes, I'm there too. Verse 1. Are you there? Can we take it together? I want to go read into 3. One to go. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now look at 1 to go. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for it, although you were not able to bear it. Now are you able? Did you see that? In other words, something ought to have changed about you. You were not able to bear it. Even now, you are not able to. What's going on? Can we take 3 together once ago? For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and striving, division, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? Are you not carnal and walk as mere men? Because in their knowledge, they were not growing. They were not growing. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. You look at verse 11. Hebrews 5:11. I want us all to read together. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
If you are not yet there, say, oh me. All right, wait for the oh me. Are you there now? Alright, so if you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Can we all read verse 11 together into verse 12? Want to go? Of whom we have many things to say, how to be uttered, seeing you are dull of it. Can we take 12 together? For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of what? From me. I will get now. I'll spare you verse 13 and 14 for time's sake. But again, from that text, that you ought to grow. Amen. You ought to make. Let me give you one more text. Look at 2 Peter 3. Or I'll give you two more texts. Look at 1 Peter 2 and 2 Peter 3. So I ought to grow. Hallelujah. I ought to grow. I ought to grow every day. You know, there's this old song we used to sing. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. if you want to grow. Hallelujah. All right. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Are you there? Are you there? Let's take it together. I want to go. Lay aside what? All my little. Can we take verse 2 together? I want to go. So, the desire is just one, or I must keep my desire. Do I keep my desire? So, do I keep growing? So, desire the sincere meek that you may grow thereby. Are we together? And who turn, that is therein. So, growth is in the word. Thereby. Therein. So, growth is in the word. So, I have to keep desiring God's word, then I will account for growth. Is it clear? One more text, 2 Peter, quickly. Now, 1 Peter and 2 Peter were decades apart. Is it clear? Decades apart. So, 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter 3, can we take, I'm going to 18. Can we take 18 together? Want to go? You are reading 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 2 Peter 3, 18. Want to go? Grow in what? Grace. Now don't forget I told you, we did a study, I showed you, that many of the instructions in the epistles are present continuous, right? Right? Uh-huh. For example, when he says, be strong in the Lord, you know, you can't come and say, I have been strong, so I don't need to be strong again. So be strong in the Lord is actually the writer saying, keep being strong. So it's a present continuous thing. The instruction is pray without ceasing. Present continuous thing. He says, be filled with the Spirit. You know, you can't say, oh, I have been filled. I don't need to be filled again. No. It's a present continuous. So you read it as, keep being filled. Are we together? In the Spirit. Keep being filled in the Spirit. It's something that you do consistently. It's a present continuous instruction. Are we together, church? So when that you should grow in grace, that is also a present continuous instruction. Keep growing in grace. Look at what he calls grace. What did he call grace in that text? Oh, you don't know. That's how to read the Bible. He explains grace in the next statement. What did he call grace? In the knowledge. Now, you know, you see the word and there, right? So someone say, oh, you can grow and not in knowledge. No, that's not true. That's nonsense. Are we together? The refers to the knowledge. That word and there is not performing the conjunctional form, function. It's emphatic. So grow in grace, I mean, go in grace, that is. Grow in grace, I'm referring to the knowledge of what? Our Lord and what? Savior. Why did he add Savior? Because it shows you what you should grow in. Are we together? So he describes him as Savior. Now, again, just like he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge. He said that's one thing, right? Observe what he says now. He says, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So that and there, is it conjunction or emphatic? Lord and Savior. Are those two people or one person? So the and in between is emphatic, right? The knowledge of your Lord, I mean Savior, isn't it? So it's the same thing. In the and you saw earlier, when it says grow in grace, I mean in the knowledge of your Lord, I mean your Savior. Is it clear? So I love the translation that says grow in grace in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But grow in grace, I mean in the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another translation. So it shows you that what Peter is saying to grow in has to do with the work of salvation. So he's describing me growing in the knowledge of salvation. He calls my growth in the knowledge of salvation, he calls growing in grace. Are we together, church? He calls it growing in grace. Glory to God forevermore. So look at this. We said we must make progress, right? The acknowledging is a present continuous term.
Philemon 6, I'll read it again. He says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging. So it's a continuous thing. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So I make progress in my faith by making progress in my understanding of salvation. Hallelujah. If you observe what Jesus, the instructions he gave in Matthew 28, having said, he says, go into all the world, make disciples of every nation. He says, baptizing them, verse 19, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then he says in 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe. So Jesus is saying, yet they are born again, are we together? But it says, you will now take them further in knowledge. Now you observe that the knowledge they now receive after salvation is not different from the knowledge of salvation they have. Are we together? Are we together? So he say you don't have to switch the meal when they are saved. No, you don't switch the meal when they are saved. You only get detailed about what they received now that they are saved. So the same meal for salvation is the meal for spiritual growth. Do you get it? That's why you observe in the book of Acts, the apostles never said anything different after folks were saved than what they said to make them saved. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So the same meal for salvation is the same meal for spiritual growth. Only that after salvation, we get detailed. That is, we'll tell someone Christ died, he was buried, he is risen from the dead for your justification. If you believe, you are saved from destruction. Now, as believed, we need to now go to talk about what has happened to him at salvation. So it's the same message. Are we together? It's the same message. So Paul is saying to Philemon that the way you make progress in the faith is by a continual appreciation of what you have received. Hallelujah. So acknowledging implies a progressive insight. A progressive insight. Progressive insight. Amen. The believer is to have a progressive insight. That's why you observe that the Pauline prayers were built on having what? A progressive what? Insight. Is it clear? Ephesians 1, 17 to 21 prayer was built on having a progressive insight to 23. Are we there? The Ephesians 3 prayer, Ephesians 3 from verse 16. Are we together? 16. Let's look at those texts. Let's look at those texts. We're going over the basics, right? Thank you. Ephesians 1, we'll just read. We'll just read. You know, Kenneth Hagin said the Ephesians 1 prayer is a prayer to pray every day. You pray it every day for yourself, and you pray it every day for your disciples. Are we together? Obviously not for your pastor. Amen. You pray for your disciples, you pray for yourself. There are things to say in prayer when you're praying for your pastor. Are we together? Right. So you pray for yourself, you pray for your disciples daily. So let's look at verse 17 together. Everyone, verse 17, want to go?
what is the hope of his calling? That you will what? You will know, isn't it? What is the hope of his calling? Are we together? You will know. Now let me give you a little bit of background. If you look at verse 1, everybody, that's what we're doing this morning, okay? So, verse 1 to go. Do you understand that? Did he say Paul to the saints? Did he say Paul to the saints? Does it make sense if you read it that way? Did he say Paul to the saints? Do you observe that a word is missing there, which is expected that you catch up with? And it's a word writing to. Right? Right? You know, some of you just read Paul and Apostle, just go ahead to. Paul is a letter. You're reading a letter. Now, in a letter, you have like two addresses, right? You have the address of where it's going, then you have the address of where it's coming from, isn't it? That's the writer, then the audience. So that's what you're reading. So read patiently. That's what I wanted to say. So let's read again. One to go. Okay. Okay, verse 3. Okay, say, God has blessed us. Right? Is that what it is? So let's read verse 4. One to go. Verse 5. 6. He had made us what? Accepted. Now, did he call them saints in verse 1? So let me ask a question. These people Paul is writing to, are they born again? Are they born again? Basics, right? Basics. Are they born again? Okay. So, 7. Can we take it together? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So, are they born again? 8. When he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Now, can we just look at verse 12 together? Once you go, that we should be to the praise of his glory, verse 13. Oh, so do they have the Holy Spirit? Do they have the Holy Spirit? Are they saved? Are they saved? Did they hear the gospel and believed and were saved and were sealed with the Holy Spirit, the promised Spirit? Can we take... Now, where I'm going is verse 15. Want to go? Oh, so did they have Jesus? Is this similar to how Paul opened Philemon that we just read? I tell you, I forgot what we read in Philemon. Are we together? Is this similar to what we read in Philemon now? Thank you. Philemon verse 4, okay? So let's read 15 together again. Want to go? Verse 16. Making mention of you. So what we're about to read is a prayer for who? Unsaved or saved? What we're about to read is a prayer for who? The unsaved or the saved? So what is a prayer for? He's already saved. He has the Spirit. He is sealed of God. He is forgiven. He has redemption. He's in the family of God. He's accepted in the beloved. Are we together? But look at what Paul prays for them. Verse 17, everyone wants to go. Okay. Revelation. Say revelation. In whose knowledge? In the knowledge of him. Is it in the knowledge of God? In knowledge of the believer or of Christ? Christ. Did you see that? So, already born again, yet Paul says, I cease not to make mention of you. That means this, it was a laborious approach in prayer. It's not a casual praying, but a laborious, a tedious
and a consistent approach to prayer. So if Paul says pray without ceasing, this is what he was praying without ceasing. Is it clear? Because he says, I cease not to make mention of you. So this is Paul's own prayer without ceasing. If Paul were to act on the instruction, pray without ceasing, this is what we will find in the content of his prayer. I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom that is revelation in the knowledge of him. Then it says in 18, the eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. Are we together? Being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Did you see that? So notice, he summarizes all he discussed in verse 3 to 14 as the calling. Verse 3 to 14, he summarizes in one word, he calls it the calling. So he says, you will know the hope, the realities. The word hope there is the word elpis. Now it's not like you use hope today. When you say hope today, you are looking forward. You are expecting. Hope here has to do with assurance. What has been done. You will know the hope, the reality, the assurance which is in salvation. So he's saying, the eyes of your understanding, if I put it differently, that you will come to a precise understanding of the assurances present in God's salvation. Are we together? You will come to a precise understanding. So that is the prayer to pray for a person that is born again. So again, it's a continuous thing. Oh, the hope of his calling. Then he says again, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He's saying that God has inheritance in you. Are we together? He says, you will come to know it. Then he says in 19, the exceeding greatness of his power to all believe. You will know the exceeding greatness of his power towards all who believe. Who is using what I'm reading is not the way it comes out in your own Bible. Is anyone like that? Everyone is in KJV. What translation? Holman. I love Holman. Can you read verse 18 to 20 for us in Holman? She have a mic in Holman. Read for us. Don't worry, I'll do that. Thank you. Look, can you read for us what you have there? I hope I will not be shocked.
I pray that the participation of...
Thank slowly! You thank you. Want to go?
Thank you very much, Pastor.
You're welcome.
I pray that the participation of your mind may be enlightened.
No, you are reading Philemon. No. Praise God. Where is in Ephesians? What you read earlier, is it Philemon or Ephesians?
Ephesians.
Ephesians. It sounds like Philemon. Go back there. I like your Bible. It's dirty. That's a word woman. People with neat Bibles. Well, my own is neat though. Are we together? Alright, let's read.
I pray that the participation of your mind may be enlightened, so you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power to all who believe, according to the working...
My mic. The version copy KJV. We need someone who's not copying KJV. Thank you. Any other translation? What translation? Catholic? I love Catholic. He was Catholic. Catholic what?
Catholic. That's what is Mark.
What's the translation? Is it good news? You're using a Bible. Check it now. He's standing in front of you. Say you don't know.
It's good news.
It's good news. Because I used to have a lot of... Right. Read on.
Is it in verse 19? It says, may you understand with what extraordinary
verse
18, power...
Verse 18.
May he enlighten your inner vision that you may appreciate.
Go ahead.
Things we hope for, since we were called by God. May you know how great is the inheritance, the glory God set apart for his saints. May you understand with what extraordinary power he acts in favor of us who believe.
Go on.
In verse 20, it said, he revealed his almighty power in Christ when he raised him from the dead and had him sit at the right hand in heaven. Verse 21, I said, far above all power, authority, dominion, or any other supernatural force that could be named, not only in this world, but in the world to come as well.
Thank you. Any other translation? Thank you. Consider. Any other translation? What translation? I don't want NKJV. What translation? AMB. Read amplify. Where is amplified since? That woman. All right, read amplified. What do we have?
Thank you very much, sir. It says, verse 18, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light.
Having the eyes of your heart
flooded with light,
okay.
So that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you.
Okay.
And now reach his glorious inheritance in his saints, his set apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength.
Okay, so take 18 together. Again, rather. Take 18 again.
By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light.
Having the eyes of your heart flooded with light.
So that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you.
Will know and understand to which he has called. Thank you. So that is it. How many of you understood what was read? Now the reason why I asked to read another translation is so that you can appreciate what is in the text. Is it clear? Now, sometimes in your Bible study you must learn to read from other translations also. Make sense once, okay? One when I saw some of this, it says it's a wordy Bible. Yeah. When I I just quickly went to read Jesus wept and I wept. Praise God. Hallelujah. Alright. So did you listen to what we read? So that is a prayer for a Christian. So it shows you that there is knowledge for the believer. There's a journey in knowledge. That's the Ephesians 1 prayer. So there's a way King James puts it that by the time you read other translations, you have a precise, oh, this is what King James is saying. So he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of sin. He says, these are the things you should know. You should know. So there's more to do the moment I'm born again. There's more to do. And one of the things I will do is that I must make progress, are we together, in my knowledge of salvation. Is it clear? If you look at Ephesians 3 in verse 14. Ephesians 3:14, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now look at it. He says, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Are we together? What does it mean by Christ may dwell in your heart by faith? It sounds like I am praying that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. No. Are we together? Christ already dwells in their heart. But he's dealing with a conviction. Are we together? A conviction of a reality that is already there. A conviction. That is, you now have this knowledge that this is what is inside. Are we together? Then it says in 18, you may be able to comprehend. It says, being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Did you see that again? Why will he say you will know something here? He said that thing passes knowledge. Are we there? So, why would he say that you will know something, yet he says that thing passes knowledge? That's just... Amen? Some other translations will say that you will know the surpassing knowledge of the love of Christ. The more precise way to put it. Is that what you have there? Perfect. So that you may know the surpassing knowledge of the love of Christ. That is, this knowledge surpasses any other thing called love. This love of God surpasses anything man recognizes as love. If you deal with man amongst men, and you say, hey, you see a man do something, and you say, hey, this is a depth of love. I've never seen anyone love like this. He says, when you hear the gospel, it passes that one. The love demonstrated in the work of salvation is a surpassing knowledge. If you were not told, your brain couldn't fathom that the Creator will strip himself of his glory and honor and be crucified, not only for his creation, but by his creation. Are we together? Are we together? He was not only crucified for his creation, he was actually crucified by his creation. How? How? I mean, that's exactly what you would say. How? Amen. So he says, this is love. That for the sake of salvation, God, because the incarnation is not reversible, God became man, he takes that form. So for the sake of salvation, he will forever wear that image of man. Forever. Though he is God, but forever. He will forever be in that image. And he says that is the love of God. Are we together? He says that is the love of God. That God will look at the whole universe and he wants to prove to you that he has redeemed you. And of all the things that he could have done to assure you that he has redeemed you, he does none else save to by himself come and live in you by his Spirit. So he takes the greatest resource in heaven and on earth, which is his Spirit, and he puts in the heart of the believing one. He says that is love. That is sacrifice. That is compassion. Are we together? Are we together? And obviously, man is not the mightiest or prettiest of his creation. Man is not the strongest of his creation. Man is not the most intelligent of his creation. So the writer of Psalm, he says, what is man? Because the guy has searched that life. David, he had had supernatural experiences. He has seen the supernatural realm. If there is a God, he says, man, what is man? That you place him at this position, that you are this mindful of him. The mindfulness of God is not in thinking about man, are we together? But in the works he had done with or in man. Are we together? Is this with a position? A position. That's why the next statement he says is that you have made him together. You have made him above the angels. He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou art made him greater. So mindful of him has to do with the position that God puts man among his creation. He says that is love. A love that even the supernatural beings are yet to fully unfold. I mean, they look at the church. I didn't say they look at the Christian. They look at the church and the supernatural beings. They look at the church in their congregation and they are like, well, I think we just need to learn something. What's happening here? So, Paul will say in Ephesians 3 that around verse 8 to 10 that the manifold wisdom of God will be learned by the angels from the church. So the angels consistently look at the church and they see God's wealth, God's kindness, God's graciousness because of the way he deals with man. So Paul is saying that knowledge of God's love that surpasses understanding becomes your own pursuit after you are saved to know it. He says the more you know it, the more you will find yourself being effective in the faith. Do you get it? You also see Philippians 1 prayer. Let's look at Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Are you learning something? Okay. Philippians 1. In verse 9. He says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. You know what? 10. That you may approve things that are excellent and that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of what? Which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. It says, being filled by the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. So whatsoever is to come out of your Christian walk, he says, is not separate, different from what you have already received. It is still rooted in him. Jesus remains the source of the things you are even told to produce in salvation as fruits. In Colossians 1, we see the same thing. So it's in the same breath that we read Philemon verse 4 to verse 6. In Colossians 1, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual understanding. Can we take 10 together? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing. Can we take 11 together? Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has transitioned into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness. He brings about the concept of forgiveness again. So we see that the knowledge I am to have upon salvation is still the knowledge of the same person that got me saved, which is the knowledge that was preached to me to get me saved at the first place. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So we observe the Pauline prayers, that the prayers are geared towards progressive knowledge. Ephesians 1 prayer, to make progress in knowledge. That shows you, look at this, that breakthrough in my Christian life is primarily tied to my breakthrough in revelatory knowledge. Amen? Breakthrough in my Christian life is tied to my breakthrough in what? Revelation knowledge. That means a breakthrough in revelation will be a breakthrough in my prayer life. The struggle to be a praying Christian will end if I will focus on the right thing. I don't know if you are learning something. I don't know if you are learning something. I know, you know, many times, a lot of Christians want to pray. You say, oh, and then you are bothered that you are not praying enough. You are bothered. Someone say, oh, that in my evangelism, I want to be more effective. I don't know. How can I be more effective? Paul is saying the communication of your faith is effectual, but the continuous, consistent appreciation of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. See, the word of God is everything. That's it. Go for the word. A breakthrough in conduct and habits tied to breakthrough in the word, in the knowledge of Jesus. So the knowledge of Jesus becomes the saving message to the unsaved. That same knowledge becomes development knowledge. Permit my language, I'm just using that for you. So I don't want to use any grammar. Amen. It becomes developing knowledge or meal for the Christian. Are we together? It's redemptive for the unsaved. It's developmental for the saved. The same knowledge. Are we together? The same knowledge. The same knowledge. So, and I'll say this now, that when I hear the gospel for the first time, when a man hears the gospel for the first time, for him, the work of the gospel is salvation. Is it clear? The first time hearing of the gospel is for what? Salvation. If it is believed, it's for salvation. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Mark 16:15-16. So the first time hearing of the gospel is what? Salvation is to be saved. But look at this. The subsequent hearing of the gospel will not be for salvation. Is it clear? The subsequent hearing of the gospel will be for spiritual growth. So, a Christian, I hear the gospel to grow. Amen. Amen. The subsequent hearing of the gospel will be for salvation. Now, will be for spiritual growth, spiritual development. Now, there's a word I use. I've been using that word for about 5 years now. 5 years, precisely. 5 years. I've been using more elaborate. As I'm using that word, around 20, just drop that. 4 or 5 years now. It's the word identification. 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 So, I said, subsequent hearing of the gospel is for identification. What does identification mean? Look at this. Identification means to see yourself inside something. That's identification. So the first time hearing is for salvation. The subsequent preaching or hearing of the gospel is for what? Identification. Now, that identification happens where? It happens in the heart. Where I begin to see myself in what I have received. See, until a believer sees himself in what he has received, he will not walk in it. He won't walk in it. He will not walk in it. And that's why you must be brilliant in teaching. When you are teaching, you must be careful. You must be patient. And you must be intentional and deliberate. You must put your audience first when you are teaching. Put yourself first. I don't care about my image and I'm teaching. I just come to present God's word. So, I'm not interested in you living here. If you live here and what you left with is, that man knows Bible. Only bad work. Are we together? I've done it. You live here and what's on your mind is, that man can quote. I've done a terrible work I'm teaching. When you are living here, a sign that I did a proper work at teaching is that the Lord fills your mind. What is said is what fills your mind. The content. That's why I said a fruit of a strong teaching is not that you are excited. Rather, you are informed. Are we together? You are informed. God's counsel sits deeper in your heart. The moment you step out, you step out with a heart full of the word. Are we together? Full of the word. You are conscious of God, His plans, His purposes. You might not even remember the color of the necktie that the preacher wore, but you will remember what God has said concerning you. That's the fruit of His own teaching. Are we together? So, teaching the gospel, subsequent preaching or teaching of the gospel, is for identification. Identification happens in the heart. Now look at this. Identification is that the hearer will see themselves in what you are saying. For example, if you say that you are forgiven and you explain forgiveness, the hearer begins to see himself in the forgiveness work of God. Until then, you haven't done a work in teaching. You haven't done a proper work. When we are teaching on the gospel and how we should pray, how the gospel makes us to pray, or how we should give, or how we should walk in holiness, are we together? Or how we should walk in love. The hearer saved, when I bring the message of God's love to the believer again, he sees himself as an object of God's love. He can imagine, he can see himself in what I am teaching. That is identification. It is until then that he will walk in love towards another person. Or else, he will not walk in love. Because he has not understood. So understanding is that I see myself inside what is explained. Sometimes as I'm teaching right now, you will be seeing yourself applying or acting out what I'm teaching, which might be different for everyone here. Because we are from different worlds, different backgrounds, different experiences. Are we together? For example, if I'm teaching to walk in love or to not yield to negative influences in the world, in the office, as I'm teaching, oh, this is how a Christian should behave in the office. Because you are saved, you have been restored, you have been redeemed, you have been called out of this world of sin, you have been brought into Christ. This is how to reflect Christ in your place of work. As I'm explaining that, someone else will be seeing themselves in his office. The other person will see him or herself in the neighborhood. The other person will see him or herself in the family. Then, coming alongside that, is that you will see someone extending something to you, and then you responding, that is identification. You are identifying with the teaching. It happens in your heart. So that is what the subsequent teaching of the gospel produces. It produces what? Identification. That identification is what deals with our conduct. Is it clear? So the message of salvation is enough to produce a right conduct from a believer. I don't, because I want a Christian to act right, go bring another strange message to terrify him. I twist text, and I bring experience of heaven and hell so as to terrify him so he can act well. Well, I might end up having good conduct, but I have not had the worship of God. Because he is acting right in fear, not out of glorifying what God has done. But Christian walk ought to be the worship of God. So not every church where good conduct is preached is God still worshipped despite the good conduct. God wants your good conduct to be a thanksgiving, a reflection. Are we together? A manifestation of his identity which is in you. So identification is the way. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why I'll not bring the message from hell. I know a lot of messages. In fact, maybe I just came from hell too. Come to service and I do my faith in such a way that everybody's like, ah. I have to preach at you so that you can act well. No. Our good conduct, are we together? Also be worshipping God. See, holiness in the believer's lifestyle is a worship unto God. It's not a fear of hell, which is what we are going to look at in our current study. You are not to live holy because your salvation might be lost. Is it clear? Is it clear? Right. So, it's responsible for conduct. It produces boldness, identification, and stability in the faith. Identification produces discernment. Christian to be discerning. What does discernment mean? Discernment is the ability to recognize God's word from human philosophies. Praise God. In Colossians 1:9, that identification, Paul says, produces fruitfulness. In Colossians 1, he is fruitfulness. In Philippians 1, he is love work. In Philemon, there's love work. An effective communication of the faith. Hallelujah. So upon salvation, must there be teaching? Yes. Is the teaching a different curriculum from what got you saved? But is it detailed? Is it applicative? So we will now apply what you had at salvation. We will now apply it. But it's the same message. So you observe that when the apostles in the book of Acts began discipling people, they were not confused. Because they had had something different to get them saved. Sometimes in a bit to get people saved, we just tell them anything. Come, Jesus will make your life beautiful. How? Jesus, make your life beautiful. How? Are we together? How? So, but when you hear, come, Jesus will solve all your problems. Ah, no. He might even add to it. He might even what? Aha. Okay. Aha. What did he say? Okay. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. I'm deliberately quiet for you. I want you to assimilate it. See, that's my problem. Are we together? Amen. Do you not read where it says, I have brought sword? Are we together? Alright. So when you say Jesus is going to make your life, Jesus is going to solve your problems, all your problems. Yes, that is not the gospel. The gospel does not say Jesus is going to solve all your problems. There's no text like that. Are we together? If you have financial problem, you are going to solve it. Jesus is not going to solve it. He didn't solve the political problem of the day, did he? Did he? He didn't. In fact, not only that he was silent about it, when the disciples came, after the 40-day teaching, hours before it was taken up, he said, will you now restore unto us the kingdom? Political, military, economic strength. He said, no. He said, you go and preach. Are we together? Are we together? He will not fix. Jesus will not fix the economy of Nigeria. He won't. But he's going to fix that problem that will eventually lead towards fixing our economy. He will fix our heart. He will put his love. He will put his kingdom. So we will now see that we are servants of people. We will reflect God in our conduct. We will serve the people. We will do our best. And then, with time, the nations will be fixed. Did you get it? That's why it's fine to have all these philanthropic activities, political aids and all that. It's good to have medical innovations. It's fine. God put all of that in man's brain. And it's all the wisdom of God in the natural. But there's what the gospel is doing that nothing else can do. And the gospel becomes the eventual solution to all. Because the gospel fixes that part of man that is responsible for the chaos in humanity. But man is going to be the one to fix all of those areas. He will bring his kingdom in our heart. As we reflect his kingdom and we preach his kingdom will also fix the natural thing. Do you get it? Do you get it? So when you hear someone say, come to our church, well, or come to Jesus. If you don't have a husband, come to Jesus. Jesus had never given husband to him before. In fact, there was a woman who had 5 husbands and was renowned. Jesus said, it's not for you. That's what he said. He says, you have had 5 husbands, and the one that you are currently with is not your husband. Maybe we are looking for Jesus to be a kind of prophet that will say, I bind you together. It's not for you. It's not for you. Jesus told her, it's not husband you need. You need the water. Are we together? Of life. Is it clear? Is it clear? Or how do you describe that? Looking for husband, and he made her an evangelist. That's what Jesus does. Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah.
Looking for husband, made her what? Evangelist. One preach. The other one say, my daddy just died. Let me go and bury him. You know, Jesus was, you think Jesus was passing his blood? Let the dead bury them. No. I tried to imagine a lot. Jesus was saying, let the dead bury them. I'll preach the gospel. Yes, sir. I have this. Just look at it. Come with me. Are you okay? It's danger for you. I'm going to mobilize people for coming. Praise God. That's Jesus. Now, obviously, that guy couldn't have gotten back home and his relative was passing. You miss your daddy's burial. She ministry. God bless you. He's alive. They must have fought him. Are we together? They must have fought him. So that's the problem I said. Amen. So subsequent hearing is for what? Identification. Is that clear, church? Don't forget that the word is for the worship of God. Identification. So quickly, we said revelation knowledge is progressive, and the believer will never get to a point where he says, I have arrived. The Christian must consistently hear God's word, must consistently grow in God's word. What does that also tell me? It shows me, and I'm getting to our study. It shows me, therefore, look at this, that the things that we hear in God's word are not things we must hear once. They are things we must hear over and over. Are we together? So if we embark on the study of salvation, the subject that we teach in God's word, the subject, now, God's word is one. There's just one. God's counsel itself is one. But for the sake of understanding, we break God's counsel into many subject headings. We look at the gifts of the Spirit, we look at this, we look at ministry, we look at salvation, we look at... It's just one. God's counsel is a body, just one counsel. But for the sake of understanding and learning, so that our minds can follow the truth of God's word, we begin to look at God's word across different subjects. So if we come now to look at salvation, it means just like every other subject, salvation is not something we just hear once. And that is why we are back at it again. Are we together, church? The Bible also, therefore, is not a book we are going to open once, right? It's a book to open again and again. I must keep the Bible opened through consistent reading and meditation. I keep the Bible open. You must keep the Bible open. The Bible is not a book you open, you read, you shut it, and go away. The Bible is a book you have to open again. We'll go again. We'll go over it again. We'll go over it again. The thought and the counsel of God will go by it again to have a more precise, because the more precise my understanding is, the more effective, glory to God, I am in my Christian walk. So the subject of salvation is also not going to be taught once. We must have a continual seeking. We must take a continual search in God's word. We must have a heart that seeks to study God's word in a continuous fashion, again and again. So in Bible study, we are going to be revisiting what we already know, but we will delve deeper. Are we together? What we already know, But we are going to get much more precise. We're going to get much more detailed. We will say again the few things that we have learned, or the old things that we have known, only that this time around we'll take a closer look. Is it clear, church? So we're taking a closer look at salvation. And I'm inviting you to study with me. 2 Timothy, church. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says in verse 14, 2 Timothy 3:14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." Did you see that? Did it instruct Timothy of continuity? Revisiting? Will you revisit? You revisit, right? Okay. "Continue in the things which thou hast learned." Are we together? He says, "And has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith is in Christ Jesus." Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. So salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Are we together? Salvation through faith. You have the word soteria diapistis, then we to en Christos your source. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Are we together? Salvation through faith. So we're looking at salvation. We're looking at salvation. He says, salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If you look at verse 16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." Past graphic steals to stores in the Greek. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable, or Philemon, are we together? For doctrine. Past didaskalia. Are we together? It says profitable for doctrine. Then it says for reproof. That's what in the Greek, elenchos. Then whatever I'm saying maybe for the 5,000 church in the time in church, so it's not new. For doctrine, for reproof, then it says for what? Correction. Are we together? For correction, that's the word, what's the word correction again? Epanotosis. Epanotosis. We have two words in the Greek, epanotosis, the word epi, which means upon. Then you have orthosis. Orthosis is an orthopedic word, which means to straighten. Are we together? Or to set aright. So when you have epanotosis, it means to set right upon. So it says God's word is to set us right upon. Upon what? Verse 15, make you wise unto salvation. So God's word set me aright upon salvation. Is it clear? Is it clear? It set me aright. Then it says for instruction. Are we together? In righteousness. Are we together? Instruction in righteousness. The word instruction is the word it is used for nurture. It's a maturity language. It's used for upbringing. Instruction in righteousness. And the kaiosune, that is in right living. So if you look at that text, it says, continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So it says in 15, and that from a child. I told you the word child there is what is which word again? It can be nepios. Is what? Brephos. Thank you. Brephos. And brephos has to do with childhood. Are we together? Childhood is a growth process. So from childhood, obviously, the childhood that Paul is referring to here was not simply childhood, but it's talking about a spiritual childhood. That is, as from the time you were a spiritual babe. Are we together? We can say, as from the time you got born again, right from the time you got born again, you have known the Holy Scriptures. You have known the Holy Scriptures. The word known is what word again? Just give it to me. Eido. Which means to have a precise apposition. I search out the word Eido in a manuscript, and Eido actually means to keep your eyes on a moving fly. It's like you want to take out a fly. You know the meaning of take out. You don't want to take out. You want to take out a fly, and then you observe it. So that way that you want to kill a mosquito, you want to kill a mosquito. My mom, I think she got the medal in killing mosquitoes. She's so cool at it. You know, so I mean she's so precise. She's so there, just like this. You know, if you are in Africa, you know, we live with mosquitoes. Alright? We live with mosquitoes. I mean, we pay rent together, you know, something like that. So, you know, the same way you keep your eyes on a moving, what's it called, mosquito, right? To take it out. That same way you keep your eyes on it is actually what Eido means. E-I-D-O. It's a word that implies to keep your eyes on a moving ball. A moving ball. So, you want to hit the ball. Have you ever tried to hit the ball before and then you hit the air? And then your leg just went haywire. Because you or someone tried to hit the ball and then someone just tips the ball away. So, you just hit the air. And then you jab the ball away. Something like that. Are we together? So, the same way you focus on, you know, I used to play lawn tennis. I still play lawn tennis. That's my own sport. Some of you think I'm weird when I can't even tell you the coach of a football club. I'm sorry. I have my own sport. And don't blame me for it. Praise God. So, I play lawn tennis. Now, a rule in lawn tennis is that you must keep your eyes on the moving ball. On the ball. No matter the speed of your opponent, as he swerves the racket and hits the ball across the net line, your eyes must be on the ball. Your eyes is on the ball. Your eyes is not even on, like football, maybe when you're playing the penalty, it says check the posture of your keeper and things like that. Or like your eyes is on the ball, because I can fake a lot. So your eyes has to be on the ball. If you are returning the ball, your eyes have to be on the ball. So that art of keeping your eyes on the moving object is what Eido describes. Are we together? Eido. It means to set your gaze on something in a way that it does not leave your focus. Did you know that was the same word I was using in Ephesians 1 which you read? When it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know the hope of his calling. The word know there is the word Eido. That means a Christian must keep his attention on the realities of salvation. Or else, you will do nonsense. You will fall into sin. You will fall into temptation. You will fall into guilt and condemnation of the devil. You will fall into all sorts of things. He says the Christian must have his eyes on the ball. See, eyes on the ball. So, Eido implies having your eyes on the ball. So, he says, how does he put it in 2 Timothy 3? He says, from child... Are we together? Verse 15. And from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That is, Timothy had been trained to keep his eyes on the ball. What ball is he referring to? He's referring to the Old Testament. That means, look at this. He says, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. So, an attention in the Old Testament books produced a grounded Christian on the knowledge of salvation. A grounded Christian. A rooted Christian. If I want to be rooted in the work of Christ, I must keep my eyes on the Old Testament books. What God has done. He says, the Old Testament books, the Holy Scriptures, he says, are able to make the wise unto salvation. There is which salvation? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you look at those words, just a little bit of detail, you look at those words, it says salvation, which is the word soteria. Then it says true faith. The word true there is the word dia, or dia, D-I-A, which means across, like you have in diagnosis, which means to know across. You know, I gave you a word, diamenu, right? Which means to do an hermeneutic act. So dia, like you have diastema in our Greek or biology, it means across. So it says across. So yeah, it says you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you intelligent, knowledgeable unto salvation. He says through. So this salvation comes to you from. It comes across to you from. Are we together? He says the Holy Scriptures. Then it says, true faith, the word pistis, which is in Christ Jesus. And the word which is the word oheto. H-E-H-O-T-O. Oheto. Are we together? It's a word that implies it's both. I won't give you what the concordance says, but both the feminine and the masculine nature of that. Now, the Greeks have both feminine and masculine for his words. But whether the feminine application or the masculine application, it deals with, it's a word that fixes your gaze at something. It's like telling you, this is a fixed spot for something. A fixed spot for something. So when it says, which is in Christ Jesus, it's telling you that this salvation is through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The salvation is in a fixed spot. It cannot be gotten in another way. It's on a fixed spot. Which fixed spot is it? Faith in Christ Jesus. So, again, it shows you that the salvation which the scriptures talk about is the one which is available in Christ Jesus. Are we together? Now, the reason is because there are many materials in the world that teach salvation. Are we together? Islam teaches its own salvation. They tell you it's by works and obeying some codes of conduct. So if you do this, God's going to be happy. If you do this, God is not going to be happy. Then Islam will say that when you are dead, you will now go to God as though He is not there where you are. You will now go to God. When you go to God, they said, based on what you have done, demons will carry you or angels will carry you. I don't know. That has not happened to me before. But in case you see demons, don't cast them out. Praise God. They said, demons will carry you. If your works are bad, they say, you show up before God. Maybe the demons will take you to God. For what? They already carried you. Maybe they need license to go and do what they want to do with you. So they take you to God. And then God will now come up with a weighing balance. I don't know whether it's to his right or to his left. But he will have a weighing balance. They will now weigh all the good things that you have done. Like this. So the good things that you have done, maybe it's on the right. Then they will now put all the bad things that you have done. That means God has a CCTV that is following you everywhere. So put the bad things. So, you know, everything like this. So I don't know how. Maybe they will add from year one to year two. Good things, they put it there. And then bad things. Then when they add year two, let's come down a bit. Then the bad things of year two. Maybe, oh, okay, you are not conscious then. Okay, let's do it again. Year one. So you have good things here, bad things here. So no bad things, so good thing. Year two, good thing. Year three, good thing. Year four, maybe year 12. In front of God. No bad confession. There may be year 20. This case will just ruin. Praise God. Then God will now send you to. He doesn't even have to send you, just look at you. I'm sorry. And you see for yourself. I've seen, Lord. You know, it's a precious that do like this. That's how she greets. I've seen, Lord. Alright. No, not that way. That way. Look at those wearing black jalamia. Yeah, join them. Can't you see what you are wearing? This is like white. Join them. Say, I'm wearing gray. Oh, yeah, change it. They give you black jalamia. They tell you, yeah, walk fast. Don't run away. Michael, follow him. Okay, doesn't run away. Say, I want to ease myself. Not yet. You had all the time to ease yourself. Yeah, prison break happened here. Amen. That's what Islam teaches. Islam teaches salvation based on your good conduct and your wrong conduct. And that is no salvation at all. Praise God. So he says that the salvation of the scriptures He is the one which is available through faith in what? Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So Jesus becomes the testimony of the scriptures. He is the testimony of the scriptures. I'll say one more thing. I'll close the session there. Are we there? So the salvation which the scriptures talk about. If we are teaching salvation, and where we are teaching it from is the scriptures, then it's talking about the one available through faith in Christ Jesus. Is it clear? Is it clear? If it is not from the scriptures, we might successfully establish it as from being from another source. But if it is the one the scripture teaches, then it is only available through faith in Christ Jesus. Are we together, church? So, a false teacher will seek to establish salvation as a result of other means, except through faith. Except through faith. Hallelujah. So faith in the gospel, like we said, but salvation. We've gone over that. Like I said, we've been taking these studies since 2019. So faith in Christ births salvation. We've observed and we have established that there is no other way for a man to be saved. Look at Acts 4 quickly. So look at some text and then I'll close this session. Are we there? Are we learning something? Alright? Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12. Can we take it? Can we take it again? Acts 4, 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be what? So for the believer, salvation is through what? Salvation is through faith. Faith in where? Obatala. Faith in where? Laburudu. Faith in where? Faith in where? Faith in where? You know, you can have faith in yourself. The works doctrine is actually faith in itself. The works doctrine. The legalist doctrine is faith itself. So you can have faith in yourself. But no, it says faith in Christ. Are we together? Faith in Christ. So believe in yourself is not a method of salvation. There is nothing in you. You believe in the Christ. It is life. Are we together? John 5:39. You for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So he is the testimony of the scriptures. In Romans chapter 1 verse 15, again, looking at the basics this morning. Basics. Romans chapter 1 verse 15. He says, so as much as is, as in me is, KJV, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Can we take 16 together once to go? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God on the Sabbath to everyone that, to the Jew, first, and also to the, look at 17. What do you say about the gospel? For therein in the gospel, right? So let's read on verse 17 once to go. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. So I am not ashamed, verse 16, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So he says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So a man believes the gospel, he has received or partaken in the ability of God to save. Is it clear? Is it clear? So that means, look at this. Any hindrance to the gospel, either by wrongly presenting the message
or by halting the message, or by hindering the preacher of the message. Any opposition or hindrance to getting the gospel across has also affected the salvation of men. Because there is no salvation anywhere else than in the message. Do you get it? Do you get it? That is why we pray that the word of God will run unhindered. Because that is how the saving knowledge of Jesus will reach the nations. Salvation is in Christ, made available via the preaching of the gospel. When it is believed, man is said to be saved. Are we there? Are we here? So the gospel has in it an inherent power to save. Again, that shows you something. I just mentioned this by the side. That it means you don't have to get creative or innovative in the preaching of the gospel. Some people, in a bid to get innovative in the preaching of the gospel, they affect the gospel. For example, I feel, oh, how can I communicate the contents of this gospel to people? Then rather than doing what God has asked me to do, I begin to adopt modern day approach to communicating the gospel. Modern day approaches, like, for example, you have people acting drama. So you gather people in a crusade, for example. You know, and I'm not against drama. Are we together? I laugh at them. Is it clear? So I'm not against drama. I get entertained, because that's what drama is. Drama is entertainment. Drama is not teaching. There is no serious person that teaches by acting drama. Is it clear? Is it clear? Drama, movie, entertainment. Are we together? That's simple. So, but some folks feel that that's how to communicate the gospel. You get our people in a crusade, a crusade, a crusade. And then the next thing you do is to bring a theater team to come and act. So someone is acting Jesus. Someone is acting, what's his name now? Judas. Who else? Someone is acting Pilate, Herod. Are we there? I remember some years ago when we watched a drama. It was Easter. And we're around it again. Wow. Wow, interestingly, we're looking at salvation around Easter. Wow. It just dawned on me. Amen. Amen. So we acted. It was a church I was attending then. Someone had come to ask Jesus. So the person that they say should ask soldier, I think he slapped him too much. That's how Jesus just forgot that. I think the guy actually said Jesus. I mean Jesus just said Jesus. And he actually went and tapped that guy. You know, he tapped him. You know, they're tapping. You know, tapping. He tapped him. We are down on the chest. This is not. This is not Jesus. This is not. I did not what we planned. Guy, they enter me too much now. Why they enter me like that? So I was doing soft now. I wait. Don't light me down. Oh, God, I will give you back. So they literally forgot because they didn't understand the act. If you understood the message, you know you would just look at the man that stabbed you. You just look at him and walk in love. You were trying to teach us the message of love. Yet you went to tap him. And I mean, we saw it. What happened? What happened? What happened? So they were now saying it behind the scene. That was not what we planned. You see why they tap. You know, but that's just for the jokes. Are we together? Are we together? So, but I mean, the gospel cannot be acted. You observe. It's just entertainment. You know, we like to just do our things many times. It's just entertainment. Because the real realities of the gospel. Did you know that the real realities of Jesus' work was beyond the physical nailing to the cross? It was beyond there. It was not just about hanging there. It was where, after he hung there, he now went from there to go and do the real work. His soul actually left him to go into hell to do the real work. It wasn't just the hanging on the cross there and there. No, no, no. It's not different from just crucifying a criminal.
The main work that led to our salvation were spiritual warfare. The things that he did beyond the physical whatever. That one, you can't act it now. Are we together? You can't act it. How do you act I'm the righteousness of God? How do you act it? How do you act how he took away the old man? You can't act that one. You have the physical one because you are kind of moved by what you see. Are we together? So, look at this. We don't have to innovate or craft out a way to preach. He already says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Are we together? That means that message, the content of the message, the content saves. It is not the way I say it that saves. So I don't have to act it to make it powerful. I don't have to sing it in a way so that people will be moved to tears. Oh my Jesus! Oh my Jesus! See, when they are moved to tears like that, it could just be the reason why they are not saved. Because what will get them saved? They need to hear it, understand it. Is it clear? Look at this. What will lead to their own salvation is also a kind of identification. So as you are saying that he died for you, he was crucified for you, the sinner is seeing himself not being crucified though. He is seeing himself and he is seeing Jesus being crucified for him. So when you say he washed you, the sinner right before you is seeing himself cleansed. See, as his mind is working that way, that is faith. Is it clear? So at that moment, you don't even need emotions. You are risking his salvation when you say of unnecessary emotion. He will not get it. That's why he said, hey, I'm born again today. He said, come to church. Then we church. The guy is not saved. Are you with me? Look at it. In fact, you even said, say after me. What do you mean say after me? What do you mean say after me? Say, Lord Jesus, you have forgiven me. I am now your child. As who? No, who are the you that you are leading to say? Are you assisting Jesus? Are you with me? So these are things you are used to. And it might sound somehow, but that's God's word. It is not the Lord Jesus, I forgive you. Sorry, you have forgiven me. I saved you. Sorry, you have saved me. It's not that one that gets the person saved. It is faith in his heart. I can get 6,000 people rehearse what I tell them to say. If there is no faith in their heart, none is saved. Are we together? See, that is the place of one-on-one evangelism. He gets salvation done faster than any crusade. Are we together? More properly. Because in that one-on-one, you observe that questions are answered. Because the preaching of God is a conversation. And through that conversation, questions are answered in the heart and faith is bettered. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with crusades. But if you really want to get somebody saved, it is that one-on-one that bets salvation and deep spirituality in the heart. Your message gets into the core of the heart. Are we together? That a general message. I've been in a meeting like that before, and a woman who had come, and one of the women who had come and said, I'm a Muslim. Not here, but you came out now. He said, no, I just wanted the man of God to pray for me. That was all. She wasn't born again, but her name will be in the card as decisions for Christ. No. Did you get what I'm saying? And I told you that faith for salvation is different from faith for miracles. A man can receive a miracle and go to hell if he doesn't believe the gospel. He can get healed, go to hell with a healed body. Are we together? The faith for salvation is definite. Not, and faith for salvation is not I believe in God. It is I believe that Christ died for me. Is it clear? What he did it as who he is. God came in the flesh and he did it for me. So I see when I see myself in the saving work of Christ, that is salvation. Until then, I am not yet saved. Even if I have a Christian name and I carry church every Sunday, are we together? So the message itself is what? Salvation. So the message is the power of God to save. I don't have to preach it in a way. I don't have to sound in a way to make it powerful. The message contained in itself. See, I just have to get the message across. A man with the most cracking voice, the least sonorous voice, but that can get the content, the facts of the gospel across to an unsaved person. If the unsaved person believes it, he is saved. So I don't need sonorous voice. I don't need eloquence. I don't have to know grammar. That's why the gospel can be preached by folks who didn't go to school. Is it clear? It is not about the language I preach it. So I don't have to know English. If my audience can hear Yoruba, and I can communicate the facts of the gospel in Yoruba, that person will be saved. So we don't need gimmicks, choreography, drama, singing. What else? All of these creative thoughts. We want to make people to understand. You don't need it. It is not the way you preach it that makes it powerful. The message itself is power. Just get it across. Ezekiel, church. So the moment that believes, or the unsaved man, the moment he believes, the Bible says he is what? Saved. Is it clear, church? So the message is powerful, is sure, the message is clear, undoubtable and absolute, that Christ to save came to save from sins. Keep it so that if what you have put in your business is crashing, you can have where to put it inside. No. God puts all of his capital in that business. So it doesn't fail. Are we together? It doesn't fail. And that is salvation. So how does a man receive salvation? A man receives salvation by believing. Ezekiel, church. Put out the following texts. In 1 Corinthians 3, 15 rather. Now you know you're going to study this, right? Huh? And then I have your reports. Are we together? Let me have your reports, church. Let me have individual reports sent in. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. Observe in the text, how is a man saved? 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Galatians 3, verse 1 to 3. Ephesians 1, 12 and 13. From Luke's gospel, Luke 24, 25 to 27, 44 to 47, you also see the different words that are used to describe salvation. You see words like forgiveness, you see words like redemption, you see words like brought into the family of God, you see words like members of the household of God that explain salvation, you see words like justification, that have been justified. You see what's like saved. You see what's like washed. You see what's like regenerated. You see what's like we are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. You see what's like, we describe salvation. So you see in 1 Peter 1 verse 9 to 11, 1 Peter 1 verse 9 to 11, Peter literally says you have purified your hearts through faith. Explaining salvation. Are we together? 1 Peter 1 verse 9 to 11. 9 to 11. Now in Romans, quite a number of texts here, so put it down and I'll close immediately after. In Romans 1 verse 1 to 4, Romans 1 verse 1 to 4, and verse 15 to 17, Romans 6, 17, Romans 25, Romans chapter 3 verse 23 and 24. 23 and 24. Are we there? Romans chapter 6 verse 23 and 24. So answer the question as you read. What saves? Answer the question. What saves? Text it. Today, tomorrow, answer the question. What saves? How is a man saved? Then chapter 10 verse 8 to 10. Where the hard man believes unto salvation. Then 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 to 20. Go over the 1 Corinthians text. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 to 20. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 and 4. And then verse 15 to 25. 20. That's 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 to 6. 2 Corinthians 4. Then chapter 5 verse 17. You know verse 17. If any man in Christ, then you see, has given us the message of reconciliation, to show that it is by the message that the reconciliation occurs. Verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter chapter 5 verse 17 down to 20 and 21. 17 to 21. Then in chapter 13 verse 14 also. 2 Corinthians 13 14. See, in the gospel we see the love and the grace and the fellowship. Galatians 1 verse 2 3. Galatians 1 verse 2 3 and 6. Galatians 2 verse 14 to 20. 2 verse 14 to 20, you see Paul's argument on justification by faith and not by works. Galatians 2, 14 to 20. Galatians 3, 1 to 8. You see Paul is arguing how you have begun in the Spirit, and he calls beginning in the Spirit faith in the gospel. Galatians 3, verse 1 to 8 and verse 26. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 26. Galatians 3, 1 to 8 and then verse 26. Galatians 4, verse 6. He has given you the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16. Galatians 5, 16. Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 2 to 14. Ephesians 1, verse 2 to 14. Then Ephesians 2, verse 3 to 10. And verse 15 to 20. Ephesians 2, verse 3 to 10, verse 15 to 20. Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 17. 16 and 17. And 11, the 15. Ephesians 5:11 also. How is a man saved? What saves him? Is it clear? How is a man saved? What saves him? Okay. He says Philippians 1 verse 1 to 9. Philippians 1 verse 1 to 9. Philippians 2 verse 12 to 14. These are all studies that we have done, so that's why I'm picking it up from there. I'm actually teaching from a note, July 2021. That's when I prepared this note. I'm teaching from now. Right, that's about 3 years ago. I've prepared my notes since then. So I'm teaching from it. Then you have Philippians 2, verse 12 to 14. Philippians 2, verse 12 to 14. Then Colossians 1, verse 4 to 7. And verse 14 to 20. Colossians 1, verse 4 to 7. And verse 14. Colossians 2 verse 10 to 15. Go over those texts patiently. Patiently. And if you have questions, obviously, my WhatsApp is open. Put the questions there. Yeah, that's the essence of study. Then Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 3. Colossians 3 verse 1 to 3. Then 1 Thessalonians also 1 verse 1 to 4. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 1 to 4. Are we there? Second Thessalonians, also verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1 to 4, then verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. And in fact, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, and verse 10. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 to 20. 1 Timothy 1, 18 to 20. 1 Timothy 2. Now, you all know 1 Timothy 2, right? Verse 1 to 6. And 1 Timothy 3, verse 15 and 16. Great is the mystery. Are we together? Which is also the message of salvation. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, sin of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, sins unto glory. And then 2 Timothy also, chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. Then verse 9 to 11. 9 to 11. Then chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. Which is our main text. Are we there? Then you also have Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus 2, 11. Then Titus 3. Look at the Titus 3 text. Look at the Titus 3 text. I always tell you that the gospel is an argument, right? An argument against human philosophies. Titus chapter 3. Amen. Can we all take verse 4 together? Titus 3 and 4. Or, if I take verse 3, right from verse 3. So, you see a background. A common background we all have. Or had. Or have, actually. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Want to go? For we ourselves also are foolish. Is that what it says? We ourselves also are foolish. Is that what it says? No. It says sometimes we're what? Foolish. Is it clear? Disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasure, living in and hateful and hating one. Can we take four together, everybody? But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by washing of generation and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and this is command. Then it says, I would that you have found constant that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good. Did you see that? Did you see that? So he started by saying salvation is not by works. Now says those who are saved should maintain good. So that's the difference. A false teacher will not make that difference. So you are not saved by the works, even though the salvation produces the works. So as we go on, and we read good works, because we're going to see it in this study. That's what we're focusing on this year. And the next year, we have a different focus. I teach salvation every year. Are we there? So we see that, does salvation have works? Yes. But it is not the works that produce the salvation. The work is rather the sign of being saved. Is it clear? Is it clear? You will see the same text repeated in Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 8, where it says, we are saved by grace through faith. He says, not of your own works. Not of works. But we say we are saved by faith through grace. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, it now says, well, we are the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus, created unto good works. So there is works from salvation. But it is not works that produces the salvation. Is it clear? Is it clear? Very simple. Basics this morning. Titus 3, 4 to 7, which you just read. Titus 1 and 2. Then you see Philemon 4 to 6. Philemon 4 to 6. Did not come last. Together. Says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, salvation. Hebrews 2, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 13, verse 8 and verse 9. 13, verse 8 and 9. James 1, 17 to 20. James 1, 17 to 20. 1 Peter 1, 18 to 25, 1 Peter 1, 5, 1, 15 to 20, 2 Peter 1, 15 to 20, 2 Peter 3, 15 and 18. 2 Peter 3, 15 and 18. What about John? John, in 1 John 1, verse 3 to 5. John the Apostle, in 1 John chapter 1, so I literally just ran from Romans down to Revelation for you. So, John 1, verse 3 to 5, and 1 John 4, verse 2 to 5. First John 4, verse 2 to 5. First John 5, verse 1 to 10. First John 5, verse 1 to 10. Second John, verse 9 and 10. Second John, verse 9 and 10. Actually, from verse 7. Read from verse 7 to 10. Second John, verse 7 to 10. Third John, verse 1 to 3. Jude, verse 3. Are we together? I deliberately left aside the book of Revelation. So we observe that all of these texts, before I close here, all of these texts stresses faith in the gospel. Are we together? All of these texts stresses faith in the gospel, and one of these you also observe in those texts is that, answer this question also, is faith in the gospel sufficient for salvation? Let that be the third question you answer. Is faith in the gospel according to this text? Are we together? And whatever you find out from those texts, amen, esteem it above the words of any man of God. Are we together? I told someone, I said the reason why people could listen to you at all is because they're the Bible. The reason why people could hear you at all, or the reason why people felt you were worthy, is because there's a call. There's a word to be taught. So you cannot show up and stand more authoritative than what gave you ministry. Are we together? You are subjected to the world. So whatever we find in those texts becomes our salvation. Amen. So we see that the message itself is the power of God. What was the first question I said we should answer? How is a man what? Saves. What? Then is the message sufficient? Is faith rather? Is faith in the message sufficient for what? Or do I need to add something? Is it clear? Someone told me about 6 years ago or more, when I went to teach salvation somewhere outside the city, I was invited to church ministry. I taught on salvation. I got people saved, got people filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a beautiful session we had. It was Saturday and then Sunday morning. It was a beautiful session we had. And then he called after the session. He says, ha, and he spoke Yoruba. Pastor, I understand everything you have said though. Okay. When people stand that way, you just know that they're going to open. He has said, say, but. I'm always looking for the but. He said, but. Just looking at it again, that people just believe. If it's yesterday, I'll just ask him that, is he your die? Is he your die? When we say Jesus died, is he your die? He said, you mean people just believe? Just believe like that. Are we together? If you have another method, amen, you can communicate. But the one who died said, whosoever can what? Whosoever shall what? John 3:16. Can we quote John 3:16 together, church, once more? For the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know that's powerful? Faith alone. Hallelujah. Faith alone. Sola vista. Are we together? Faith alone. Anyone who has believed in that gospel, who believed that Christ died for sins, he believed that God came descend into flesh, the creator of heaven and earth took upon him the form of his creation, the form of man. He came in humility. He became so humble. According to Philippians chapter 2, are we together? Philippians 2, amen. He became even to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Anyone who believes that he hung on the cross, he was crucified, he was killed for his sins, and believes this in his heart, and will trust in that work to make him right before God, and will not hide behind his good conduct, and will not hide behind the conduct of his loved ones, and will not hide behind penance or giving, will not hide behind his wealth, behind his material things, or behind his good works unto fellow human beings. Are we together? What do you call it? What do you call it? They call it ladder. Are we together? Right? Is that what they call it? Is that what they call it? Huh? Is that what they call it? So he said, you do ladder. Are we together? You see, there's no ladder for you. He declared. There's no ladder to get to heaven. He declared. If you like, do ladder. There's no ladder. Amen. Amen. Anyone who believes, the Bible says, he is what? Saved. No way to God forevermore. So look at it. Salvation is not our destination. It's where we started from. He's declared. So you are doctrine that says heaven at last, it falls down. Do you get it? Do you get it? I said what? Heaven at last. Are we together? Heaven at last. Is heaven at last? So let us walk. Let us behave. Behave yourselves, or else you will not make heaven. Fall down flat. If you say fall down and die, it's for that doctrine. Fall down flat. Because the one who died, I think he should not be as vocal on salvation as the one who died. Die. And what he says? He says, whosoever believes in me, just like Moses, raised up serpent in the wilderness and lifted up the serpent, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in me, say, I have believed. Hallelujah. Have you believed, church? Do we have believers in church this morning? Believers in church this morning. Do you say I believe or I have believed? Now, you say I have believed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So and I'm saved, right? But I'm actually saved. Are we together? Because Ezekiel, church. Ezekiel. Look at it. He's looking at the sinner in the pool, about to drown, and then he throws a rope into the water. And they save yourself. Because that's what you're preaching. When you say I have to save myself by my conduct, that means Jesus threw a rope into the ocean and expect me to climb. No, he dived inside. Are we together? Jesus took a deep dive into the ocean of sin and death. Is it clear? And look at this. He brought forth many sons of men. With the Spirit of God in my hand. So I say, I stand and I declare that I am saved. I am washed. I am redeemed. That is who I am. Are you forgiven? Are you forgiven? Are you reconciled? Are you a son of God? Indwelt by the Spirit. If you don't have the basics of salvation, it's the basics. Nothing is more basic than it. That's the basics of salvation. That, hey, the believer has arrived. You are saved. Every other thing is built on what? On that foundation. Every other thing is built on that foundation. That the thing that you should have yearned for, what should have been the Herculean task, what should have been the eye of a needle for a camel to pass through, what should have been the mightiest of all tasks, has been done for you. Every other thing possible based on that. Are we together, church? God made the most difficult task of entering into his kingdom. He made it his sole responsibility. And he fulfilled it. Are we together? And we are recipients of it. No way to go. See, I'm a recipient of it. Just lift up your hands this morning. Give him praise. So as we take this study, our eyes will be open. And we're going to see the wealth and riches of God's grace as we take his study in both the Savior
and the work of his people. Just lift up your hands, give him praise, singing on that tongue this morning.